You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, look at that. We're live. Look at that. Low key wall. Welcome, Walnuts. Low key wall is back. I probably should put it on my face so you guys know who you guys are next to seeing and next to hang out with tonight. And here, back in the Cyber Loafing Studios, it's your host, 8 o'clock, on the dot. Alarm goes off, just like you guys see. It's not an act. Every time at 8 o'clock, my alarm goes off so I can brush my daughter's teeth. My wife is doing it right now upstairs. You can here knocking the thing, but like I said, welcome back to Loki Wall. I know we're not dead, we still do these things. But joining me here on the line is, of course, the last great white rhino himself, Reinhold. Why don't you go say hi?
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, and of course, we've got Escalaja sitting there in the Wall Twitch stream room in the Discord.
Howdy.
Yeah, and feel free to join us if you want to. You want to talk in our Discord if you at Earth Pony level or higher. At Earth Pony level, I'm sorry. Yeah, so. All right, so I am, like I said, it's been a while since I get to been streaming for a while, so I'm like checking a couple of things, seeing how things go, seeing if things are going okay. So if you see anything that's messed up, please let us know if you're in the chat room. We'll try to fix it here on air. You know, so we're going to do our best of keep everything flowing, get everything correct, because, hey, I'm a little rusty for doing this. All right. So, talking tonight, we, you know, of course, we'll get to your, if people want to talk about smoke, we can do that. We'll talk about dogs, too. Don't worry about that. I want to talk about, tracking apps. We'll talk about that. And we're also going to talk about Reinhold's story about the Coast Guard terrorist action. So, Ryan, you want to start us off? You want to read out the article for us?
Ryan, sure. So, it's an interesting story that there's been a few of these over the past year that have come to light, been a big splash on TV, and then all of a sudden just disappeared immediately. And this is another one of those. We have a gentleman who has decided that he wanted to try to kill everybody on Earth. I think it was his stated goal. He had a list that he put together. And a lot of what we're finding out about the story is coming from documents that he's written and then were deleted off his hard drive. So, except this is the FBI, I think, is the ones who grabbed him and arrested him, and now he's awaiting trial. There's a fight going over whether he should have bail or not, or whether he should be held detention during the lead up to the trial because of danger that it represents. Okay. So his name is Christopher Paul Hasson, Hasson, born in Maryland, Coast Guard lieutenant, right? And some of the things he's been accused of, one of the things is he had a large stockpile of weapons, which I believe the number was around 12 or 13. So I don't know how much we want to put stock in whether that's a large stockpile of weapons. But he has self-identified himself as a white nationalist and had a list of people he wanted to kill. He had a spreadsheet with a list of journalists, including Cory Booker, Tim Kaine, Beto O'Rourke, John Podesta, Democratic Socialists of America, Social Democrats USA, Angela Davis, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Don Lemon, and Kamala Harris. Sheila Jackson Lee was also on the list. There's just a lot of people he had listed out that he wanted to take out. And one of his Google searches recently was, what if Trump illegally impeached? Civil war if Trump impeached? Social Democrats USA, most liberal senators. So I think we're seeing a pattern on what his political motivations were.
His triggers are.
And and what he was trying to get out of that. And he did write in one of these that he did want to kill everybody, as it were. So there's probably a lot of mental issues going on in this gentleman at the present time. And we're just trying to find out more about what's going on here. But what's interesting to me is that this story comes up, it splashes for a day, and then disappears once the details are found out. Yet we have other stories like Jussie Smollett that come on the scene and then linger for weeks and weeks, and people just won't stop talking about them. And I'm kind of curious as to the mindset there. That's one of the things that really interests me about this, is the just kind of how our attention span focuses on these weird little stories and ignore these really dangerous ones. I mean, CNN had 3 bomb threats last year. There was the post office mailer guy who was trying to send these bombs that, you know, didn't work, but they were still being sent. Once he was captured, it went away. Nobody's talking about it again, you know? So what do you guys think? Is there something here about why we're picking up on certain stories and not others? Is this something that they're trying to just avoid talking about? Really, or is it just the natural way humans are?
Combination of B, like you said, because you're right. A lot of these real danger stories aren't talked about. They want to talk about the ones that are not a dangerous or just so small chance of happening. In the early aughts during the Bush and Obama era, like terrorists around every corner and they could come get you, even though the likelihood of that was very low. But the real dangers of, so the guy sending the pipe bomb and actually getting it right and taking you out, those are real dangers.
And he seemed like he was on the move to try to do something. I mean, so this doesn't seem like idle stuff. Like, it's like musing one night thinking, I wonder what this would be like, or if I should look into this. But this is like something he seems to have been planning and probably going to go through. He took inspiration from the Norwegian terrorist Anders Behring Breivik and then the abortion clinic bomber Eric Rudolph. So he's definitely got a type of things he was after and looking. So just, like I said, I think possibly this could be something where I think we all agree that this is bad. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of story there to talk about. Whereas something like Jussie Smollett, where it's like a back and forth and things happen and all that could be part of the,
with the Jussie Smollett stuff, you got a actor with it, and that brings in automatically canned heat of the fans of the show that gets to watch your show talk about the ass action. So you have the lead up before, right, of people believing that he was attacked, going through this, believing in the narrative, wanting to go out and defend, and also like just shocked and awe that this happened in a Midwestern city. So that massive hype train, which is built up anyways from all this, and then with the police in, they're working on it, they're getting people. So like this massive, this vile thing that Americans thought were virally racially watching this, and then they realize it was a train wreck of a hoax. So they continue still watching and just want more answers. And a lot of people just really hope that the answer was like, you're telling me this guy faked all this for a paycheck? To some people, that's unbelievable.
Right. And how, but how much of it is that there's a certain segment of society who's wanting to point out that this was fake, therefore all these other things could possibly be faked? I mean, is that something going on there that we have a push from that direction to say, hey, look at all these, all these people who are faking these attacks, when the reality is that the fakes are very, very few. And the things like this guy and the post office bomber and the threats being called in, those things are really more concerning.
Well, I mean, yeah, the fakes are very few, but they're also trending to be like the most high profile of them all. I mean, look at the Covington kids nonsense that went on and dominated for 2 weeks. Every single headline on major news. The nothing cases are a small percentage of the total cases, but they're also the ones that the media keeps tending to fixate on before we get all the information. So, generally, my rule of thumb is if it is a crime of this type that is reaching some sort of fevered mass, whoever's behind, like, somebody's pushing it, and it's probably a weaker case than the one that you don't hear about in the news.
It doesn't make sense, though. If they were trying to push the narrative that Trump supporters are dangerous, wouldn't they be talking about the mailbox bomber and the Coast Guard guy constantly? Because that's the narrative they can get along with. There's meat there.
Correct. There's a lot of meat there, but there's meat, but the Jesse Smollett is shown proven canned heat. He brings his own canned heat of the show. And that's the other problem. Oh, it's a white supremacist with a bunch of guns. You know, unless you can put some, you know, it's some unknown white guy. It really doesn't have anything. And then with the pot, you put a gun, they captured him. It was exciting for the time, but now it's all like procedural stuff. It's kind of pretty much boring. There's not much speculation to go on with those. With Jesse, like, oh, we
can, right. And that's,
can go on this and talk for hours.
Right. And I think that might be part of the issue there, too, is that you've got the people who are wanting to push back and say, hey, look, this is the media trying to be fake. This is the media trying to push a narrative. And then there's a back and forth that goes on there. Whereas these other stories, everybody pretty much agrees this is wrong and scary, and nobody wants to, you know, there's no other side to fight on that one. So there's no media interest at that point.
Yeah. And an opinion piece was
media.
There was an opinion piece written a couple of days ago on USA Today talking about a lot of these hate crime hoaxes and was trying to like put them all together, and the show, like, a lot of these fake hate crimes and hoaxes, a lot of them happen a lot, and Drew Fiano's like, there's, you know, it's main reason why, like, we question things and have a court of law and not trying to use court of public opinion of no matter what someone's accused of, we should probably, you know, get the facts and try to get to a courtroom, because hoaxes do happen, and that's why you're innocent to proven guilty.
Well, look, I mean, just look at the Central Park raping that current President Trump was involved in back in the day, where he still believes that those five guys were guilty, even though it was proven that they weren't. The Tawana Brawley hoax,
yeah,
back in the late 80s, I think it was, mm-hmm. late 80s, early 90s.
Duke LaCrosse.
I mean, this stuff happens, but they're the ones that get sensationalized and everybody remembers. And people like this, you know, we just seem to kind of forget about and push to the side and go on with our life.
Yeah, correct. There's been several different, like, proven, like, fake hoaxes, hate crime hoaxes, where you're like, look, someone sprayed the swastika on my house. And it turns out later, nope, it was them. You know, I'm not saying that hate crimes don't happen. You know, I'm sure, like, people go after people for the race, but, you know, it's a lot of those are very vile and problematic, very problematic, and they usually happen on a mass scale. It's to me, like the way, like the smaller thing, like group was, like I said, it just seemed weird to me just because it just happened to one person in an area that's predominantly, you know, gay and liberal. So you just tell me, like, just two white guys and MAGA hats decided to go to Chicago to go after one guy. That seems weird. But different if it's like a serial hanger and bleacher. Okay. Sucks that it has to get that far, but usually you need that much data.
And
people can barely hear me. Is it me or all of us? Agent Power. You can keep going. Keep talking.
So, yeah.
Me? Okay, I'll look at my microphone.
Like, I want to know exactly, like, how Clorox is supposed to enter into this as part of the hate crime. Like, I have never... Is that a thing, or was that just this bizarre detail that was added to this
particular? You're talking about
where they were supposedly, where they were going to pour bleach on him.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, the whole attack seems like it was just a fever dream that he invented, right? I mean, it's like a bad actor who doesn't know how to write a movie trying to write a screenplay where he sends himself a note a week earlier that's like cut out letters in a magazine that you would see in movies from 30 years ago. I mean, this is the guy wasn't in his right head at that point, I don't think.
Yeah, so he's feel like he just went into a writer's room like, hey, yo, I got a great, you know, idea for a script, and rewrites it, and then like, dude, this is the biggest hump of garbage I've ever seen.
Right. You know, somebody who's like, you know, you should not write screenplays.
Yeah, the bleach just completely... I'm like, what the fuck at that? But, you know, the entire... Like, I was talking about this case with my roommate, and the thing that first, like, when he first heard about the account of the story, the thing that made him go, wait, what? Was the fact that he managed to keep his Subway sandwich.
I don't know. All right, correct. If it would have been a beer, it would have totally understandable. Didn't spill his beer through the whole thing. I get that. But the Subway? Come on. That thing probably would have been so rock hard and stale. Could use that as a weapon.
Okay. I didn't think that part was that strange, because I will fight a son of a bitch for my sweet onion chicken teriyaki.
Alright, okay, alright. I usually just get a BLT, but so...
This episode brought to you by Subway.
Subway.
Who's, if there is anybody
code, out there, next time checking out.
I know, right?
Yeah. Use code WALL.
Yeah. I'm just upset that Subway in that area is open at 2 a.m. But, like, I want a Subway open at 2 a.m.
I'd take anything open in this godforsaken city.
Oh, Waffle House, PT Show Club.
White still Castle? Open.
White Castle. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I can either get my heroin...
Mm-hmm.
My AIDS or extreme diarrhea. That's good to know.
I'm sorry. PT Show Club is a fine establishment on the east side of Indianapolis. Waffle House is also an establishment littered across the country, and it's the last bastion of hope to everyone on the road.
Cleans you out. It's a cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yes, it's cleansing. No, I've known people that have worked at Waffle Houses, and those are stories for another time.
I know. I feel like all I want to do is open up a Waffle House and go, this is like Waffle House, but we're cleaner. That's it. I love Waffle House.
You should. I spent some time working at a truck stop, so, and they have some restaurants that are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And stories I could tell, but not on here.
I just want one that's clean. Is that too much to ask? That's all I want. It's cleanliness. I hate going there drunk because I'll start spouting off of health code violations. Is that wrong? Is that wrong on me? Is that wrong what I do? But anyways, back to the like the hoaxy thing.
Statist.
Like, what health code violations? Hey, SurfSafe, right? It's a voluntary certification. It's a great model that you can move forward. I hate that you're forced to follow SurfSafe, but you know, right. It's a great model on how you could build a better health code. Like without the health department, I could probably go out and make an organization, call it the Paul Gox, and make people pay to get my certification. And I say that you're clean, and I basically would just send people in there to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing at all hours of your business.
It's just like Underwriters Laboratories, which is the one that I usually use for that example. It's like, we don't have a federal government entity telling us about electronics have to be safe and everything being inspected, because like UL does it. It's a private organization.
I prefer my stuff in China unlooked at. You know, someone just sent us a Zup nerds. It Anubis. That's a funny way spelling Anubis, I think. In the
Anubius.
Yeah, I was. Well, it's the wrong jackal-headed god if it is Anubis, but keep going, right on. I'm sorry. Distracted by the chat room. All right, then don't go. Yeah. Hey! We got another 14-month subscriber. Ryan Hole, 14 months. Thank you, Rhino, for the sub. Oh.
Well, yeah. If we're dumping all of the subscribables and that stuff.
It's been a while since I've been able to share that I subbed to the channel.
Oh, and it's 2,000 bits! Look at all the bits! Bits! Wall's got some bits. We got, hey, Walnuts, we're getting bits. Hi, Crafty.
We've literally been saving that up for 8 months.
Just like holding all these bits to dump them. That's a lot of bitties. That's a lot of bits. Trying to convince me to keep doing low key wall, huh? Huh, Walnuts? I like that name, and I'm just gonna keep using it until it sticks. You know? No, dear leader, dissed that name, dissed the Liberty and Shield name, so I just came up with Walnuts, and I kind of like doing it. I missed the bits dancing. It's the kind of reason I want to get like a dear leader to do it, because like we could both bit dance together. We could ditz. What do you think about the Ukraine?
Well, the Ukraine is weak.
Also split up a little.
There's a lot of things I think about Ukraine, but. Depends on where you really want to know, or are you talking about recent? Yeah. If there's something recent in the last week, I don't know much that happened in Ukraine, but focus on other things. But if you have an article you want to share, feel free to drop it in the Discord. Which, did I get the Discord bot working? Please tell me that the Discord bot working. Probably not. It still doesn't work.
Well, if we were wanting to do Ukrainian news, the Ukraine has begun the impeachment process for their president.
Wait, this was the president they put into power after the civil war and takeover and coup? Speaking of coup.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the coup here, yes.
Shh,
not a coup.
Remain calm. There is no coup.
There's no coup. What I should do is speak out to the other League of Liberty and let them recognize me as the new deal leader.
Yes.
Yeah, but what would your avatar be? Which super friend?
Almost knee jerk and said Jason Todd. Yeah, I almost knee jerk to say Jason Todd. But we all know how that turns out.
You mean Nightwing, right?
Is that what you're saying? Nightwing, yeah. Good old Nightwing.
I mean, it fits.
He takes over the mantle as Batman at one point after Batman breaks his back. Gets his back broken by Bane.
Yep.
Well, I dropped the story I found in the Discord on the Ukraine.
What, in the Loki Wall chat room?
Yeah, the in your story submission.
Oh god, in the proper spot.
It's, well, we have some redundancy, and yet we still don't have a weapons board.
No. No. No, we will not. Alright, so good old Escalja sending us Al Jazeera. Put him on the list.
Fake news.
Obviously fake news.
I had the conversation with my wife yesterday because she was like, here's this great story. And she sent it to me and I looked at it. I was like, you realize this is Al Jazeera, right? And she's like, no, it's from this AJ Plus. I'm like, yes, that's Al Jazeera. She didn't believe me. She had to go look it up. And it's not that they do fake news as much. I find that they're actually a little more accurate than, say, you know, CNN or MSNBC or Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They do put a twist on it, obviously. You just have to kind of read through the twist and glean what information you can from it and move on from that. But it was just funny to see the look on her eyes like, no, that's not Al Jazeera. I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yep. What the frick?
But yeah.
So Crafty, tell us what you thought. I mean, what did you think about the initial Civil War to begin with and the implementation of the current government that you have in place? Is that something that you were for or were you against at the time? And how do you see this corruption happening and what that means to the implementation of that government? Is it coming from that or is it something else? Outside influences, because there's a lot of what I think is there's a lot of outside influences with Ukraine because of the issue between Ukraine and Russia and trying to put NATO into Ukraine and that sort of thing, and the basically the almost new Cold War that we're creating because of this whole hotspot, and there's such external influence on that country right now that these types of corruptions seem to be expected almost, and unfortunate, but something that I could see happening.
No. Yeah, and real quick here, I'd like to interject. When I stated that the Ukraine is weak earlier, that is a reference to Seinfeld. That is not my editorial view on the Ukraine. I did not realize that might not be a shared
experience.
Shared reference. I'm not sure what sort of penetration into the Eastern Europe market Seinfeld actually had.
He was global, man. Don't you know?
Oh, yeah. No, everything in my life somehow comes back to Seinfeld. And I can find a reference back to it. But
I want to know. I would like to say, I do want to talk more about Ukraine. Hopefully Crafty has heard that and is typing a response and let us know, because I'm really curious. But also, I want to make sure that we sometime tonight talk about the main story of the week, and that is Gaga Cooper.
Gaga Cooper.
Okay, well, I'm taking actions now behind the scene to ban Reinhold from life, from everything.
This is what Twitter's talking about. It's like trending on Twitter right now.
My God.
No, this is what news is. This is the state of our news media.
No, like you were asking earlier, like, well, why does this style of story disappear? And all these, because we're busy worrying about Gaga Cooper.
What's all right, as we wait for Crafty, so what the heck's a Gaga Cooper?
You know the movie that just came out recently, A Star is Born, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga were in it. It's a great, great thing, right?
No.
Last week, Lady Gaga separated from her fiance, and then
at the Oscars on Sunday night, they did a duet of the song from the movie Shallow. Mm-hmm. And everybody is saying the way they sang it, you could tell that they're in love. Now they're shipping this and they're trying to make it the new Bradgelina or whatever silly little name that they're coming up with now, I guess, is Gaga Cooper. Even though Bradley Cooper has a partner who was sitting in the chair between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper when they were in the audience, right? They're acting, guys. They were acting this way because that's what they do because they're actors. Jeez. But it's like the biggest news right now. It's hilarious.
Oh, man. All right. So, Crafty did respond back. It's like no choice. You can't influence anything. I think it's like a big bosses are playing a game and we are their pawns. I do not like our current president. For example, he is a businessman and you know he has his companies still in Russia. An example, our enemies in terms of war, still money is everything.
Huh. Yeah. So, and I'm guessing that is part of the grounds for the impeachment. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very difficult situation in the Ukraine because they're basically being eaten away by their larger neighbor, and Putin definitely has imperialistic designs on.
I don't know if I agree with that, but
I mean,
he now that part of Ukraine did ask for help. Well, they did not want to be part of the new government.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to understand, Russia is trying to make sure that NATO is not put on its border. Right.
Correct.
It doesn't want missiles sitting on us. Remember how big of a fit we pitched when they tried to put missiles in Cuba?
Mm-hmm.
This is their Cuba right now. So, yeah, they're very upset about what's going on there and they're trying to influence it. I understand why they're doing it. I don't think it's because he's trying to expand the size of Russia.
Because Russia's pretty large anyways.
Right. He's trying to push his influence. Just like the United States does on everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand their motivation behind it. You know, whether it's the right way to go about it or that's all different discussion. But I don't think it's just that he's sitting there with the rubbing his hands together going, I'm going to take over the world.
I'm sorry, but the annexation of Eastern Crimea. Eastern Ukraine and the Crimean Peninsula to me just echoes of the Sudetenland.
Bearing the lead.
Well, I mean,
the people who live there were identified more with Russia than they did Ukraine to begin with. It was an arbitrary country formed at that point. They saw themselves more as Russians than they did Ukrainians. In that peninsula.
And when Hitler annexed large chunks of Czechoslovakia,
Czechoslovakia
have a vote that said they wanted to separate from Ukraine and go, or from Czechoslovakia and go to Germany? Or were they just rolled in with tanks? Because there was no Russians in Crimea. That was all Crimeans, freedom fighters. They may have helped them with some money and logistics and things like that, but that war was fought without Russian troops.
Hmm.
And speaking of the money laundering scheme that we're talking about with the current president, wasn't that what Paul Manafort was found he's being tried for because of money laundering from the Ukraine back in 2003, was it? I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yes.
I don't remember how long it was, but it was long before the whole Trump thing, all that, 2012 or something like that.
There's no news before the Trump, only news of Trump. All right, Crafty responded back. Also, the U.S. is using this situation in Ukraine and even supports the war itself. It's really easy to destroy some Russian resources by Ukrainian hands and land.
Right. Correct. And Ukrainians want it. I mean, there's a whole segment of Ukrainians who are and not necessarily the normal rank and file people there, but there are some actors in Ukraine who have infiltrated into the Democratic Party and especially into Hillary's inner circle that want us to go to war with Russia and are trying to use Ukraine as that mechanism to do it. The United States is trying to push NATO into Ukraine. It's just a big, ugly fight going on there. And I think it'd be best if both sides would just leave it alone and let them deal with their own thing. Because this is what always happens when the big players start interfering in these little countries, you end up with banana republics. It's like we did with Honduras. It's like we've done with most of Central America. It's the Middle East is just a mess because of all the meddling going on because of that. So I see this is just the next hotspot, the next focal point for those proxy fights, as it were. And I stunned everyone into silence.
See it as you're just. Sweet,
Mike's coming in and out.
Was I muted? Oops.
Yeah, you're muted.
Oh, oops. Was I saying that it's more of a good way for them to fight each other or just positioning? So just in case you do something, well, whatever. Whatever you want to do in the future, doesn't matter. I've got my missiles at your border. You don't have any at mine. I have that at yours. I finally get to hit you. You know, and that suits in that subtle way, political way that, you know, large countries punch each other. They jab. These little faint jabs.
What Russia missiles do they have that are that close to United States as Ukraine is to Russia?
Exactly. They just don't. And it's a nice like callback to when like the Russian submarines were getting super close to the United States border.
Okay. Yeah. There was a plane that was shot down for that.
Oh, they shot a plane down?
It was a airliner. Hear about the airliner getting shot? It was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty stuff. It was height of the Cold War.
War in the 21st century. This is Crafty, by the way. War in the 21st century whenever we are part of Europe. Don't know why we have no support at the very beginning. It's likely artificial, created, fake. But I don't know why do people enjoy watching and doing nothing.
It's complacency that doing something can sometimes be more chaotic and unsure than what's currently going on. So the comfortable known is better than the scary unknown for a lot of people, so they're willing to just take it. And that's the unfortunate reality. And the other part is, too, is like it's kind of a arbitrary country that was put together, just kind of like Iraq was kind of thrown together and arbitrarily bordered, right? I mean, that should have been three different countries. There's too much internal strife and too many different segments that should be, you know, separate from each other. Kind of like the Eastern Crimea and the area of Ukraine probably should have been separated as countries. This happens all the time, and especially in Europe with all the different wars and everything that's been fought for centuries and centuries over there, is that people just start making arbitrary borders.
Correct. And Belgium only really exists, so Germany and France have somewhere to work out their issues. But there's a lot of different, like, because the colonization of Africa by European powers, most of the territories in that country are like completely jacked up and don't make any sense. So,
well, now it's going to be interesting to see what happens because China's making huge inroads into Africa.
Yes, they have.
So that is going to be an interesting scene to see play out. So, how are the other world's powers going to respond to that, and what's going to happen to the state of Africa? Has already been decimated for, you know, decades of fighting because of this. because of the big players wanting to get in there and do this. And now you've got China entering in the mix. I just don't think it's going to get any better.
Right. But that's part of China's massive, like, goal is to open up trade routes, and you know they are trying to get to make sure if Africa, when Africa gets more industrialized, that they have be able to have easier trade routes with China and not go anywhere else. Let's see, Crafty responds, thank you for your comments, really enjoy listening to you. What about the situation in the U.S.? Do you like Trump? Any problems you are struggling with? Ooh, so Rinal, do you like Trump?
I am not the biggest fan of President Trump. I find him to be a boorish populist who has a, third level reading IQ, maybe third grade. Yeah. To put it in, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. So you think he's crude, rude, and yeah.
Well, and the populist part is what really scares, really annoys me. And even admitting to being a nationalist without realizing what he's actually saying at that point, I'm kind of upset about seeing the fourth rise of that type of thought process in this country. So it's the fourth time that this has come to fruition, starting with the know-nothings, then two issues of the Ku Klux Klan, and now we have the alt-right, which is all the same mindset. Getting tiring, having to beat it down again all the time.
Yeah, but the difference with the alt-right is at least shrinking. It's not growing.
I don't know if I agree with that. I really do not agree. I don't know if I agree with that at all.
Okay. We'll find out in 2020. I feel like the alt-right is shrinking. I figure a lot of people got into it, thought it was one way, really, and a lot of people are breaking up and they're not staying with it. And the ones that are staying with it were probably white nationalists before the alt-right movement or non-right people in the first place. But I figure a lot of people was calling themselves out, like, yeah, believing it's just new right or some other language, and then realize, like, wow, these are some racist socialists. I'm not hanging out with these guys.
Well, it's really more a case of, and not necessarily white nationalists, as it is about Western culture. And that's when you hear the phrase Western culture and you start seeing that being played out. I mean, that was the kind of the way the second wave of the KKK,
mm-hmm.
they got to, I think, the most political power. And they were doing it on the issue of white Protestantism. So they didn't like the Catholics, they didn't like the Jews, they didn't like the Irish, they didn't like anybody other than white Protestants, right? So that's what they considered Western culture, as it were. They used different language for it, American culture, that sort of thing. And but it's the same mindset that there's a group of people we all want to be only us around, and we don't want to have all these other influences coming in and making our society different, even though most people realize that when you do that, when you have other thought processes coming in, other cultures coming in and melding together, you become something better and stronger. It's like when you don't want to marry your sister and then continue that down the line like they did in the kingdoms of Europe, where they all started having weird genetic deformities because there's nothing new being introduced into it, as it were. Them stale.
Understandable to keep everything flowing and mix up. So it's like I said, it's a lot of it like based off of fear. Once again, like we've talked in the past, it's just fear. The shutdown, Crafty replied, but I heard about shutdown in the U.S. Is it true? Can you tell me some details? The quote unquote government was shut down. Most of that was just non-essential workers not getting paid and having to go up because of budget talks. It wasn't really like a shutdown. Government really didn't like shut down or nothing. It's really stops.
It's interesting to see how much of the government was shut down that was considered non-essential. And it's like, if they're not essential, then why do we have them at all?
Right? Correct. Yeah, correct. State government still functioned. Police, fire, everything was still functioning.
Yeah, it was something like a tenth of the federal level of government wasn't getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think, no, they weren't, none of them were getting a paycheck. They were being forced to work, though. And that was the funny thing, was that you're being forced to work, but you're not getting paid. So they were complaining about that. But then you find out that all of these government workers belong to these credit unions. And the credit unions were giving them interest-free loans to get them by until the shutdown was over. So they were all just complaining about it. It was all political. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Fortunately, unfortunately, what it is, and this is the problem, is that we have a Senate and Congress that doesn't want to do their jobs. And that's what's always frustrated me ever since the 70s. When in the 70s, they instituted this War Powers Act, and they instituted the Emergency Powers Act, right? These two things happened in the mid-70s, and it was basically Congress signing away their job to the president and say, okay, you do what we are supposed to do, and then we'll just okay it. How's that sound? And then the president now has these powers that he's not supposed to have. And becoming a king-like figure in our government, because Congress doesn't want to stand up and do its damn job.
Mm-hmm. And now they want to do their job against Trump, which is hilarious.
Well, they're still not doing it, though. That's the thing, is that they can stop just threaten all of this right now, and they won't get together and get off their butts to do it, because they know that then they're going to have to do, you know, they're going to have to do their phony baloney job.
Correct. That's the other thing, is like, as they complain about the migrants and the immigration process of going on the southern border, where they have the most power to do anything about it. It's Congress who would, if need be, craft the treaty with the Mexican government to allow free travel between the United States and Mexico. They could easily have crafted that.
Right. I mean, the president signs that sort of thing, but it doesn't come in effect until Congress does it.
So. Right, yeah. They could easily brought that to the table and talked about this, even like some sort of work migration thing where, yes, you can come over and work, you have to pay U.S. taxes, and you have to go back. They could have did tons of different things, but only they did was complain, because it helps them get reelected, which is sad, because that's all they care, mostly they care about. I know it's kind of cliche, like, politicians only care about being reelected, but they only really care about being reelected.
By the way, Harry, I think we have another person in the chat.
Boy, hey guys, it's Hody. How y'all doing?
Hody Jones.
You are spot on, Harry, because I have thought about this before, that they have two solutions for the borders. And one is doing their jobs and creating some treaties at the federal level, which they have the power and the authority to do.
Yep.
Or they could interfere with a bunch of people's private property, spend a bunch of money on taxes, put more troops out there, pour a bunch of concrete. You know what? Trump even called it militant eminent domain. Use militant eminent domain, steal people's land, ignore the fact that we can't build on the Rio Grande, and just do all these things that and then jail the people who try to break it. And so all of the onus, instead of being on the politicians, gets transferred to the people involved. It's a complete, this is on you. The solution that they're looking at we're not going to take care of it on our end. We're going to do some things, though, that makes it so that we can arrest you if you try something on your end.
Right. Yeah. Everything, like you see a lot of those, the congressmen, they'll complain about, is like, they're the ones with the power to do something about it, to put something to the floor and actually do something. Yet they complain about everybody else and that they should do something. And there's usually people who are ill-informed that believes, no, only the president could do these things. And that's part of the issue there. Yeah. So I'm glad I was I was thinking the right thing before. I thought I was like, I was crazy. Like, you know what? Can't Congress just kind of, they could fix this before this even happens. They could just fix all this, or made sure it never even got to a head like this. And the strange thing is that, considering that Social Security is a freaking Ponzi scheme, we need the migrants coming in here and paying into the Social Security system and not collecting that money and going back.
Yeah, what's going to happen if we cut all that out and we have fewer people in the United States, and then the boomers start retiring in about 5 to 10 years? We're in trouble. Yep. Social Security is going to fall in on itself. Everybody's worried about welfare. I mean, why are you trying to protect welfare when you're going to kill Social Security?
Thanks for the follow, Crafty.
the the money, if you follow the money, and we have this, you know, the fair, what's it, the Fair Institute, they've got their set of stats that says, hey, here's how much we have to pay per immigrant.
You mean their lies?
Okay, so yes, I want to start there. So we say, okay, these are lies, their numbers are inflated, we don't like their numbers. If you look at their numbers and delete the cost of deporting them, they contribute less to the debt than the average American citizen.
Yep.
Just bottom line. And that's using their numbers, which everyone says are lies. And I say, you know what? Use their numbers. They cost us less than the average American citizen until you factor in the cost of trying to kick them out of the country and sending people to bash down their doors and kick them out of the country. Until that point, they're costing us less. Everybody in the United States is costing us in debt right now. It's just the way it is. It's the way things have been set up. It's awful. Of course, we want to fix it. But they are doing less damage than we are.
I've made that point before. If you want to, you know, if you're really worried about how much money is being spent on welfare, then you should take all the people who are on welfare who are citizens and kick them out of the country. And then, and by the way, Hody, if you're chewing, I can hear you on the, it's coming across the mic.
Sorry about that.
But we get the, you know, kick them out and just let the immigrants come in because they cost us less and we would be better off financially. If that's your goal to be better off financially, you're going about it wrong by attacking the wrong people.
Yeah, you're directly attacking our GDP producers, and and that's the number one wealth measurement barometer in the country is by GDP production. You go after them, our country is poorer as a result. If we didn't have these ridiculous systems that force them basically to be a debt, they would be more of a profit than the majority of us cubicle workers. And I'm sorry about chewing on ice cubes.
All right, Crafty had to go, but he left with his last message, which, okay, guys, need to go. Want to speak to you more, but I have some work tomorrow at 4 a.m. here in Kyiv. Yeah.
Kyiv.
Yeah.
I thought it was Kiev.
Kiev.
This is how it's spelled differently.
Yeah. I'm bad with names, and asking Harry is going to be like...
That's somewhere. Oh, that's
all right. Well, Harry, what do we got next?
First off, it's a Neo Dear Leader. Already had three other libertarian podcasts recognize me as new Dear Leader, so...
Awesome. You're making a name for yourself, man. Congrats.
Yep. And he also wanted to know if you have a wonderful day and goodbye. All right. So moving on here on the Low Key Wall, we're going to talk about how to stop Facebook from tracking your location in the background. Too long did not read. Uninstall Facebook. Never return. Is that it? We're done here? That's about it. I know nothing about it.
Sounds like you got it.
Yeah, that's the fastest way to do this, right? But I doubt most people want to do that. That's my method. I mean,
just think about it. If you just go and live in a cabin in the middle of the woods with no phone, no, who can track you?
Well, depends on what typewriter you use, personally. So you've got to mix up your typewriters. Oh, sorry.
You can get us Electra. And it's got to be a manual. It can't be electric because you don't have electric in the cabin.
Right, yeah.
Track you through the electric, right?
I brought my portable Sears manual typewriter to Starbucks and annoyed everyone with it. I had a ball.
As loud as the manuals were, though, the electrics were very... The first electrics that came out? Oh, they were just...
I should bring my... typewriter to wall one night and just sit there and start taking notes on it.
That's how I learned cycles on a manual typewriter back in
1870. Got it. The other way you could also do this is don't run the Facebook app. Practice application minimalism, where you don't run don't load too many apps. Run it everything in your browser. Just open up the browser and run the app. Don't run the app, just go to Facebook.
Well, do what Adam Curry's doing on No Agenda. He's got a flip phone now. Mm-hmm. That has no, basically all it can do is it can receive texts.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets text alerts whenever he gets an email from specific people so that he can then go to his computer and check the email out if he wants to. He's not getting any of that stuff on his phone anymore because he does not want to be tracked.
So let me play devil's advocate real quick because I think this will be fun.
Okay.
I enjoy being tracked by Facebook. I love the fact that they monitor everything I do. I love the fact that they listen to what I'm doing.
Okay.
The reason being is because then I get an experience that is tailored for me. They know the type of things that I am interested in, and they move those to the top of my social wall. They do ads that are focused on things that I might actually consider slash might actually need, as opposed to, and I'm just going to, I hate to be crass, but frankly, before these companies started tracking me, it was all meet people in your area that look like they're going to have sex with you, but you know, they're not actually in your area and nobody's going to have sex with you. And it was all of them. I mean, it was everything in my email, it was everything in my Facebook. Finally, I get a system that recognizes, oh, hey, you don't actually watch pornography all of the time. Maybe I should advertise something else besides porn to you. So it's actually cleaned it up for me a bit. I like the fact that sometimes I will just say, oh man, we're going to Applebee's tonight. And I mean, I'm keto dieting still and it's rough, but so I haven't gone out recently, but back in the day, I would say, hey, let's go to Applebee's, and I would have fun, but I would also get a coupon from my Facebook just while I happen to open it, be on the car on the way to Applebee's, because they knew, and they're like, oh, hey, here's that. So again, this is a devil's advocate question, because I kind of believe with you guys, but I would like to hear you answer someone's experience like mine, because they might not see it as a big deal.
Okay. Now, for that experience, they do take a lot of your information and they do sell it to these companies that do give you that tailored experience. The issue is what they do with that information and what they do to process it. So you believe that you are getting things that you want to see. You don't really know that. It's kind of, they will use it to also to influence you. Facebook has on occasion has used your information from track places that you have been gone before and likes that you have to also try to manipulate you in all kinds of different social experiments. They've tried to see if they can make people happy. They try to see if they can make people sad by sending them just bad, you know, things that would just make what they believe would make people sad. They would just send it to someone's feed. It's just, like I said, bad things that Facebook has done.
You're saying there it's not a coincidence that some days when I see happy, cute dog videos, and then some days I see a whole bunch of sad dog videos, they're trying to like gauge my mood here.
Correct. Yeah, they're trying to gauge it and trying to move you and manipulate it and see, manipulate you.
So if they make me sad, and then all of a sudden an ad comes up for, hey, here's some feel happy pills.
Correct. Yeah. The other thing they do is that they also don't. They also use that to censor stuff to try to. Before this whole Cambridge Analytica stuff, it was also known that Facebook did go there and try to manipulate people's like political point of view by putting you into either A, an echo chamber, or B, putting you against your political opponents to see if they could get you to change your opinions.
Makes sense. I am constantly being bombarded with, I'm doing the interviews with the candidates for president, and I got a hold of all the Democratic ones, and as well as Bill Weld's and Donald Trump's as well. I have very few little hopes on that last one responding, but you know, seeing what I can get on all the rest of them. But because of my volume of contact, they're like, hey, do you want to just join the Democratic Party today? You've spent a lot of time trying to contact them. So maybe join. So that's been my ads for like the past 5 days. It's been rough.
I'm getting stuff. I got a letter yesterday from President Donald J. Trump wanting me to give them money, fight the horrible liberals that are in office now. It's just, I don't know how I got in this mailing list.
They need to track you better.
This before. Because I don't do I do the ad block. I don't do anything like that. What have you guys done the fun game of going in and seeing what political tag they've given you in your account?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, I have. Said I was conservative. All right.
told me I was, it wasn't conservative. It was, I think, more independent. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what they said, but it was just like, no, you're not conservative. You're not liberal. You're somewhere else. But they did, they wouldn't say libertarian. I don't think that's an actual option that they have.
No, I think it says moderate, right? If you're right in the middle. It's what? Like,
yeah, moderate.
Strongly right, slightly right, moderate, slightly left, strongly left, or whatever. I'd been hard on the president, and it put me on slightly left. But that thing also changes. Like, it'll change quickly. Like, if you have a week of being like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a moron, you'll swing, like, it'll swing, and you'll be like, it'll be like, oh, yeah, you are strongly conservative. And you'll be like, okay, well, now I need to fix. I actually use it to try and balance out what people see from me, because I feel bad when I, like, only rag on one thing. I need to diversify a little bit.
The other thing with the Facebook trackers is, like, location stuff. You give your location to different local businesses and also places that you have gone. So basically, it tracks your entire day and your route to a company, and they do sell it as advertisers. That metadata.
Your phone's also tracking you too, not just the Facebook. And it's so everybody's correct. Is like Facebook tracking us, but your phone is doing it as well. Google is doing it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Even when I was talking about it broadly. Like, yeah. I enjoy the new experience. Like, and my email has stopped offering me, you know, pornography and stuff. And it's been nice that the trash email that I can throw away is now centered towards my interests in, like, video games and politics and books.
That's just that's a machine. Yeah, your spam filter is reading your emails. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, that's fine too. That's what I'm saying. It's so much better of an experience for me that I, like, at least am dealing with that instead of with all the other stuff that the gross stuff. You know, I don't need that smut in my inbox.
But going to those places to begin with, and they wouldn't think you need it.
Yeah, that just sounds like someone's on your Wi-Fi going to that smut stuff there, Odie.
Well, that, now hold on.
You can change your Wi-Fi password.
This was decades ago. I have not had a problem with being offered smut stuff in a very long time.
I have no problem with being offered smut stuff right now.
Bring it on.
Ah, you know what? What am I fighting? All right, I'll see you guys later. Now I really need to mute the microphone, right?
Yep.
So, do you have any stories you want to talk about, Hody? I brought one, and Harry brought one.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, nobody... Have we talked about Smollett yet?
Really mentioned the Smollett stuff, but you could bring it up.
We've all mentioned that we really think it's
Chris doesn't want to talk about more of it. So we might as well talk about it because we're doing him a favor. He doesn't want to talk.
I don't know if anybody really wants to.
That's I'm with you guys, but I think the thing is we need to have a conversation to make people stop caring, because this is the exact type of thing that back when I was like a conservative and I probably was always a libertarian, but you know what I mean? I was always looking for a reason to dig on the left. This was the type of story I would consume. It would consume my life. And I'd just be like, this is everything. This is my, I love stories like this. This is who they are. This is who the liberals are, is Jesse Smollett. And so I guess I'd rather talk. I think the reason I want to discuss it is because I kind of want to discuss why we shouldn't care.
Okay.
Because we always talk about crappy people. Yeah. So why shouldn't we care about this crappy person?
It's not so much that we shouldn't care. It's more a case of let's not try to make this one individual the poster boy for everything wrong with the whole political group. Right. And that's what really happens, and it's unfortunate that we do it this way. And I can go into a little tirade on my own about this. And so we live in an outrage culture. Now I'm going to be doing a daily on this at some point, but so we live in an outrage culture where everybody just wants to be outraged about something, and it makes them feel better about themselves. And we've turned it into everybody getting 15 Minutes of Shame, which is there's a new song out by Tim Minchin. If anybody hasn't seen it yet or heard it yet, you should go do it. It's really good play on 15 Minutes of Fame that everybody thought they were going to get into. Now we are shaming people, making them so unforgivable on what they do that when we're the one that stumbles, now that it gets turned on us. We have to start understanding that people are people and nobody's all good. Nobody's all bad. Or very few people are all good or all bad. And people are just trying to do what they think is best. People are just trying to get by in their lives. People are just trying to make decisions and choices for themselves that works best for them. And sometimes they do the wrong thing. And it doesn't mean that they're horrible, rotten people. It just means that they're wrong in what they did and they should learn from it. But if we destroy them, which is what we tend to want to do, nobody's going to learn anything from it.
But I mean, there are guys that is there nobody you're interested in destroying, Reinhold? Like, do you want to give me a glowing review about like Chris Cantwell or Joshua Smith right now?
Well, Joshua Smith, I do not want destroyed at all. I've tried to help him. I've tried to tell him that he needs to learn more about politics and to watch what he's doing and become a better steward of libertarianism and not just, fighting his little fight, and focus on that narrow aspect of it, which is what he does. And Chris Cantwell, I think, is lost and needs help because he is wrong. He's way, way wrong. And, at some point you have to start saying, okay, we need to dissociate from him and everything else. I understand that, but does that make him an evil, rotten person that's unforgivable, that he could never turn his life around? He couldn't come out and say, look, I was wrong. I am no longer this horrible piece of garbage that I've been for the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
I've learned my ways. Would people take him in and forgive him for that time period? Or are they going to just label him and be done with him, period, at that point?
Okay. Before you continue talking about the cry Nazi, Hody, bearing the lead, who are these two individuals?
Oh, Joshua Smith is a representative at large of the Libertarian Party. And what, Chris Cantwell was a very prominent libertarian, and I believe he has even called himself a white supremacist and a Nazi before. But he is still, he still goes on like Free Talk Live and talks.
That it caused a whole fight on Free Talk Live recently when some of the two of the co-hosts on Free Talk Live quit the show because Ian brought Chris back.
Correct.
After Chris went off the rails and became admitted what we all kind of knew he was a white supremacist. Ian felt that he had to tell him not to come back on the show again. And that lasted for a couple years.
Correct.
And then recently he decided to have him back on in an after show, which caused the two people to bail out and say, we're not associated with this anymore. Then there was a big fight and who was fired and blah, blah, blah. It was just a big, ugly mess.
Correct.
Daryl Perry, who was former candidate for president on the Libertarian Party, right?
Yep.
He was running to be the
No, I think your response, Reinhold, is perfect. I'm sick of the hate. Like, I'm so tired of... I asked it as a loaded question because I can glean some good from both of those two guys that I mentioned. And then when Chris Cantwell starts going on Nazi stuff, I'm gonna be like, yeah, I'm not listening to this anymore. I admit that it's so much directed in the white supremacist direction these days that I probably can't listen to him anymore, but I'd be open to talking about liberty with him. I just am sick of what you talk about with the outrage culture. And I don't know if this is taking it to the next step or if this is more the fundamental building block that it grows on, but I've run out of hate for everybody. For me, it feels like love is an unlimited supply. Like I can be fascinated by somebody and find them interesting, and that can go on forever. Whereas hate, I just wear out.
It's not necessarily love. It's more just understanding that. Okay, so AOC is not my favorite person as far as politics goes. But I'm not going to hate her, right? I mean, she's just doing what she thinks is best. she's wrong. I believe that she is very wrong in her beliefs and her assumptions and the things she's done. I will try to convince her she's wrong. I'm not going to think she's a horrible, bad person. It was the same way I felt with like George Bush and Obama. They were wrong on what they were saying and doing in a lot of areas, but they felt like they were doing what they thought was best. Right. So how can you hate somebody for that? Just you can disagree with them. You can say that there's something wrong with them and that they can't figure out that they're wrong. Even Trump, I don't think is a horrible person in regards of just being a piece of trash that should be unforgiven and kicked to the curb completely. He's got a lot of deficiencies, but let's focus on that. So like there are people who are willing to think that he colluded with Russia in order to win the White House because they hate him. The facts don't show that. The facts aren't there for that. And I don't believe he actually did anything like that. So nobody will say that I'm a Trump supporter in any way, shape, or form. I don't believe.
I've not mixed you up with a Trump supporter before.
But I will defend him on that aspect of it because I think he's getting a raw deal on that side. Right? So we need to focus on the issues and like – everybody's talking about how AOC is stupid or Trump is a racist and all this stuff. Let's focus on the things that we can really argue about mm-hmm. and point out are wrong without trying to destroy them as human beings and dehumanize them to the point where we don't have to think anymore. We can just automatically hate somebody. And that's what our culture does now.
So what I'm hearing is that Reinhold is going to vouch for Trump.
He's a Trump supporter.
I'm vouching for Hillary and Trump because I defended Hillary too on the political persecution that she was under when they were trying to get her on the server stuff. And I know you and I disagree with that a little bit, Paul, but still I felt a lot of that was a politically motivated prosecution. And I thought libertarians were against that sort of thing.
I have a tough time with, there are certain characters. So like, let me take Smollett for instance. And if you work backwards, it's funny until it's sad because you start today and you say, oh, he's going to jail. Why is he going to jail? Because he paid some people to beat him up. He wrote him a check because he's a moron and he doesn't know that you don't write people a check to beat you up if you don't want it to get traced back to you. And then he also fabricated an email that he sent to himself. Mm-hmm. It was unwinding this knot, right? And then it looked like it was because of money, because he wanted more pay on the show. And then they started unraveling that knot. And when you finally got down to the basis of it, why did this whole thing start? Oh, because he had a drug addiction. Well, aren't we compassionate on that? He did something awful, but he's famous. Frankly, I know people that have done worse things in my personal life, been addicted to drugs. The only difference is they're not famous, right? Like,
yeah,
like
we kind of hit on that earlier.
With his own money. I mean, how many people steal from their own house? You know what I mean? Or steal from their parents to finance their drug activity. At least he's stealing from him. He's borrowing from himself and his own reputation. And so I think, like with Smollett, I feel for the guy. Yes, he did something awful, and it's hilarious. So I love talking about it because I think it's hilarious and stupid, and all those good things. I get an entertainment value out of it. But also with this, I am compassionate on what happened to him.
I think there's a difference, though. I mean, I think there's a difference where we can say, "Hey, this is hilarious, and you're an idiot, and we're going to mock you a little bit," without making it your unforgivable human scum.
Yeah. Or this is the left, right? Or saying you are
either
now
side. Yeah. Oh, either side. That's what I'm saying. You can't, there's a difference there. So I think it's healthy to kind of point and laugh and go, okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Really? You're really, and then let it go and then let him get help and then let him recover himself. I mean, it used to be that, famous people would go through their drug addiction phase, do a bunch of stupid stuff, and then become reborn, go through rehab, and everything was fine. Everybody, you know, I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr., what he went through. He was a mess for many years.
Yes.
But now he's the most beloved, one of the most beloved actors there are because he's talented and everybody loves him for that. So a lot of people don't get that in their lives. Just like we have people who are drug addicted getting a put in jail, which they shouldn't be put in jail for being addicted to a drug. It's supposed to be unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, but they're arresting them for possession instead of actually using, which is a little mind game to get that through.
Right.
And then their lives are destroyed. They can't get a job later. They have a felony on their records. They can't vote. They can't participate in society like they used to. They can't get jobs. I mean, it's just the wrong way of looking at the human condition and people and all the help that they need.
If I don't show up to see the next Mission Impossible, does Tom Cruise feel like he needs to change religions? Yeah. Like it's it's ridiculous, right? I mean, I don't do anything by not showing up to see it, right? It's just I rob myself of entertainment if it's any good, and he's not going to take it as, oh, you know, this must be a referendum on my religion if I don't show up. You know, I mean, those same people that are like, yeah, I'm not going to see it because of his religion are the same people that also showed up to see The Pianist in Force, and you know, we also know what that director was doing, right? So now, Harry, I know you want to say something, but I do want to ask one more question to the group at large.
Okay.
Because here's the problem that I have, is because the Smollett thing, I feel bad for him. But then there's somebody that, like, gets people murdered and steals stuff from their desk and hides it and then gets caught. And I, at that point, I'm like, oh, man, like, I'm having trouble feeling pity because what you did was clearly out of some self-preservation, and you went a little too far. Like, is there a point where you lose a little too much humanity, especially with politicians? Because I feel like at some point, I'll hear someone who graduated. The problem that I have with both Trump and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they took economics. They are masters of it. They didn't go to these like little schools or take a small class or listen to it. So they say things where they know better. That, you know, and they know that this will have this effect, or this is what it will do. And it'd be one thing if they just package it in a pretty package, but they outright lie about the effects of the thing of their economic impact, both of them. So is there a certain point where we stop having, you know, where's their compassion then? Do I still talk about them compassionately and say, oh, they're just lying because they really want their agenda through? Is it just because they feel like their agenda is right? I guess is the question I want to turn to the group.
Well, I think they kind of believe that their agenda is correct, or that what they have been taught, they know better than. As in, they take it, they have interpreted it, they seen it a different way from their own experiences and repackaged it out as that, you know, this is what they want to do. And this is what they take with all past experience, plus, you know, everything they want to do. And it's, you know, and it's absent of what they were taught. But some people get taught things and get taught from other different schools, from different things, where they and just kind of want to go with it.
Well, and part of the thing, too, is it's us versus them attitude that starts to permeate into political culture and politics. So you want to dehumanize the opponent and build up your own side. You end up getting put into these echo chambers. And the echo chambers start taking bad information and pushing it as good information, and it gets repeated and echoed throughout that chamber to where you start to believe it happened. Right? So you start to believe that it's the facts and reality when you should know better, but you don't. But you want to stick up for your side and stick up for your group against the other group. And that's, I think that's where that comes into play.
It's hard for me to, I don't know. I have like pity on Smollett, but I don't have pity on like the Clintons or like Paul Krugman when he says something about like price fixing. I'm just like,
well, see, this, I don't have pity on him. I just think that they're wrong, but I don't think he's a subhuman. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not saying that you should have pity on Paul Krugman for being wrong and pushing something that is false or not real, not held up by the science of the topic he's supposed to be talking about. But I understand what he's trying to do. I understand his mindset. I understand that he's just trying to do what he thinks is best, even though he's wrong at it. And I would rather combat him on the facts, on the issue, and not try to make him the laughing joke, you know, the laughing, like you can laugh about people and joke about people. And I think that's healthy to do, but there comes a time where you take it too far. And a great example in my mind, a great example in my history is Dan Quayle, right? Dan Quayle was not a stupid person, right? But he had a couple bad moments. He was unprepared for a few things, and he did and said a few things that weren't exactly the best for the situation he was in. And then he became the butt of so many jokes and so derided for that, that it became the reality that didn't really exist, right? A lot of the things that you've heard that Dan Quayle has said are comedians who have said those things, just like they're doing with AOC, where they're saying that she said this or she said that when she never did, because they're trying to make her appear stupider than she really is. They did the same thing to Dan Quayle. And I kind of knew Dan Quayle a little bit, because when I had an issue when I was in the military and I needed assistance, we wrote to our senator, who was Dan Quayle at the time, and Rich Lugar, and they took care of it for me. And, you know, it's frustrating when you know that somebody is not what people are trying to make them out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you see firsthand what that can do. I mean, look what happened to another great example is Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was not a bumbling idiot, but you know, Chevy Chase didn't like him. So Chevy Chase made him out to be that on Saturday Night Live and admitted that that's the reason he did it. He wanted to make sure he would not get reelected because he hated him, and basically destroyed the perception that people have of that man because of that political agenda.
So what you're saying is we should ban Saturday Night Live from doing comedy about presidents.
No, I'm saying we should understand when the comedy is coming from a place of humor and good naturedness and satire, and it's not coming from a place of trying to destroy the life or the reputation of somebody in the process. There's a line that I think gets crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of any good examples really of that happening on Saturday Night Live lately, because I haven't been watching it much. I don't know how far over the line they're going with the Trump thing.
No one is. Both of their viewers are adamant, but I haven't met them.
Well, the Kavanaugh hearing, the Kavanaugh hearing with Matt Damon, I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Kavanaugh. That was funny. Because they were picking on everybody. And I saw another recent cold open where they had Trump on Let's Make a Deal, talking about, you know, the shutting down of the government. And they had all the
suitcases.
Senators on there.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, yeah, the suitcases. And Booker going, vote for me, I'm running for president. You know, it was just it was funny because they were hitting everybody. But they were hitting everybody good-naturedly. They weren't doing it in a way to make them appear as less than human or less than – forgivable or scum or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But yeah, because Saturday Night Live in recent history, like, yeah, they completely ruined most people's takeover. What's her name? Running mate for McCain. What was her name?
Palin.
Yes. Sarah Palin. Yeah. Because, like, I can see my house from Russia. She didn't really say that. That was Saturday Night Live. But yeah, that was.
Everybody, when they think of Sarah Palin, they think of Tina Fey.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, you know, I really did like the time when Tina Fey was on and Sarah Palin came on and told her to get off the stage. And they were good natured enough to have that happen, you know, because they understood they were joking. And I don't think that they took the Sarah Palin stuff too far. I think that some of the people who are watching it tried to attribute what Tina Fey said as Sarah Palin and to Sarah Palin, which was wrong. But when Sarah Palin was nominated, the political communication that weekend was terrible. What they tried to do to her, I mean, there were people talking about
her went after kids. Being her,
well, yeah, they went after her kids and her kids' kids. Like, you know, it was like they were trying to say that her son was actually her daughter's son and she had it out of wedlock and all this other stuff, all this conspiracy stuff was happening over that weekend. Yeah. And it was so disgusting. It's like, this is why women don't go into politics, because you can destroy them on a different level than you can men. And it's amazing to see.
I'm going to call some shenanigans on that, because let's not forget what the Bush campaign did to McCain over his adopted daughter in 2000.
Oh, remember what they were doing with Perot's kids, too, because it made Perot jump out of the race as well.
Yeah, so saying that it's something uniquely...
No, I don't think... I'm not saying that going after the kids is unique. I'm just saying that women have a whole different... There are ways to go after women in politics that's different than how you can go after men. And I see a lot of people trying to do that from time to time. And I think it's just, I think it's wrong. You should treat people as individuals and what they have to say. You shouldn't go, you know, there's certain languages that people use in news media when they're trying to destroy somebody. Mm-hmm. And you can see this on newspaper headlines and things like that. When you have the picture of this one guy saying, you know, that this person was accused of doing this and it's gentle. And then you have the other person who did the same thing and he's treated as a, you know, subhuman, that sort of thing. And then you start to see the different races between them, that sort of kind of journalistic bent that happens on things. And that's way off the reservation in my opinion, but I see it done. You know, I see the way that sometimes these people are treated by other people, and I just am not very happy about it.
All right. This episode is getting kind of long in the tooth, guys. I know.
Oh, you've been going for a while? Oh, for me, it's
no, no. We're taking over. We're going to break our record.
What? What? Whoa. There'll be no record breaking tonight. Okay. All right. Some of us had to stay up, you know, go and work all morning because someone decided to wire the warehouse I worked at in an terrible fashion. So now I've got to go out and try to find me a cable monkey. That's all they want to do is go up and down ladders and run cable everywhere in this warehouse because the wiring's so squirrely in this place. But since that is going to have to keep happening, and I've got to get a brother to get that done, I'm going to call it. We're going to call it. Calling it. All right. We maxed it out like close to 10 viewers because I'm going to bed. I'm getting early. So
you sound just like your leader kicking us out of his studio because he wants to go to bed.
Neo deal leader. Yeah. Neo deal leader will end the fun now. So if you could. Let's start wrapping it up. Let's start with Howdy, since you were the last one to enter in. Why don't you go first?
All right. Last one in, first man to leave.
Yep. I'm starting the timer.
All right. Well, I guess for my final thoughts, I think that there's a lot of work that we need to do culturally, especially socially, in order for libertarianism to succeed. And a lot of that has to do with making this world a friendlier place. And I think we don't realize how badly we undermine our own cause when we make the Smollett like thing our focus for a long time. It's hilarious. It's worth saying a thing about. I'm not saying don't say anything about it. Somebody told me recently that, and I was thinking about this, that Ben Shapiro does 25% of his shows, 25% of his pieces are about why people shouldn't be able to select their own gender. And he feels comfortable talking about it and whatever. Here's the thing is Ben Shapiro is probably a good person. But if you are someone who struggles with gender reassignment or gender issues, you're not going to listen to him anymore. Because that's 25% of what he talks about. Mm-hmm. And I think the danger for me, because even when I was a libertarian, I still held on to some of those, like, look at how idiotic these leftists are. Like, they are so stupid. And right, I mean, righties too. I mean, that was why I left the whole thing as I got done with the right. But the socialists. Yeah, the left and right socialists. I was just so sick of all of them. And I was just, I had had enough, and I would make them my whole focus. And it would just be 99% of what I would talk about in a week would be one guy being stupid from their thing. And I think that we're in danger of doing that. We've talked about on the show with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What the problem is when we dump on everything she does, no matter what. She is wrong on a lot of policy issues. But if I am constantly aiming when she's wrong, what happens when the other guy's wrong and I don't call it out? See, as a manager, I've had to manage a few restaurants, and that's called implicit approval. And so it's saying I am approving without saying it. I'm approving of what the other guys are doing, what Trump's doing or whatever, because I spend all my time attacking her. And nobody's going to believe us when we say we're this great place for all Americans to be when if we spend all of our time constantly dumping on one side or the other. You know, if I constantly spend all my time talking about trying to make Jussie Smollett bigger than it is, it's a joke. So we should make a joke about it and then move on. When we talk about politics, we shouldn't be talking about him. We shouldn't be talking about that. You know, it's okay to rip on her policies, but keep in mind, while she's the face of the bill, she's also one of many authors.
Correct.
She's not the only target here. And then there's plenty of other social programs from the right that need to be looked at as well. And you know, for me, it's an honesty check because I can feel myself compelled to dump on somebody. And so what I need to do is check myself and say, you know what? This requires intention. I need to physically stop myself from typing on the keyboard what I'm about to dump on her and think for a second and say, am I doing, will this make people believe that I have everybody's best interest at heart or just my best interest at heart or just the right's best interest at heart? Because if I keep dumping on her, people aren't going to believe that I'm genuine anymore. You know, and that, I guess that's what I want to say is that it requires intention. I hope that people understand that when they type, it's natural to sometimes let go, but that natural place gets taken advantage of by social media, by politics, by news, and you'll eventually end up in a camp that believes a lot of stuff you don't want to believe in. So you have to intentionally say, no, I'm not going to dump on her this time. You know what? Maybe I'll say something good about her. She took a GoPro in and wanted to show what her day at the office was like. I want to see more of that. I wish every single candidate wore a GoPro, you know, maybe that's not natural. I had to go out of my way to find something nice to say about her because I don't want to just dump on her. But I think that's a good thing when we do that. When we say, yes, I'm going to go out of my way to say these are the type of good behaviors I want to see instead of just ragging on all the bad behaviors and pretend that everybody sucks but us. Because guess what? People have drug issues. Okay. A lot of people have drug issues. So the Smollett thing becomes a little less funny to them when we just dump on it all the time. You know, the race thing becomes less funny. You know, if you have a homosexual friend with that one guy who burned his own house down because he wanted to look like a hate crime, you know, that's coming out now too at about the same time. If we spend all our time dumping that, hey, here's what all gay people are like. We don't have to say that, but if that's what we focus on, that's what we look like. And that perception has to change if people are going to trust libertarians. I took a lot of time for my final thoughts, but there they all are.
All right. Thanks, Hody. All right.
Yeah, man.
Go right home.
I'm sure they're not final. We'll hear more from you later as we do more shows and stuff. But no, I just I agree with you on the AOC thing because something I can say good about her is that she understands politics a lot better than a lot of people who think they do. And a great example is that when people tried to attack her for the dancing video, and then she posted a video of her dancing going into her office or something. It was just like, that's how you deal with it. That's politics. That's how you should deal with stuff like that in politics. And she understands that far better than a lot of other people who think that they understand politics. Right. The person we talked about before, a great example. Right. So, but my kind of feeling is the same as yours, in that, Cody, that, we're trying to create a society. We are advocating for a society where people, rule, you know, the societal rules has kind of happened. And then the normals and the mores and things like that happen naturally instead of being forced by government. But if we're not willing to do those things ourselves, if we're not willing to look past small foibles and errors in judgment and things like that on other people, then we're just going to create a society. You know, we're advocating for a society that's just going to fall apart and break down if we continue down that path. We need to be talking about, you know, how we can lift everybody up and be a good society to be in, and then that'll win the day over. Once we can prove that to people that this can happen, the more and more we prove it, the less and less they're going to need to rely on government to do it. That's how you scale back the government, by proving your case, not just talking about it. So, I mean, that's the only problem is that when you and I say that sort of thing, there's a segment of libertarianism that are going to call us liberals, left-leaning libertarians, socialists, because we care about people for some reason. But I can't understand how you can function in this society or function in this world if you don't care about people. And that's my final thoughts. I'm not going to take too much time, so give it back to you, Harry.
Hit vape. Oh, more of those left libertarian Bill Weld Lakers. Anyways, go to... All right, Paul, go ahead.
Oh, final thoughts. Well, first of all, I'm going to say that it's been great to sit back down and have another low-key, even though it's kind of usurping the place of the big show for the week. But I've been trying to push for the last several months. I'm like, hey, we need to sit down. We need to do this. And I know things are busy. Well, I'm hoping we can keep up this little bit of momentum and do it more often. Because I've honestly missed having something that's a little bit less structured, because the big show has become a very structured but very excellent program, and I miss being able to just kind of BS for a bit. Other than that, I don't really have a whole lot of thoughts. I do want to say thanks to Crafty, even though he had to go to bed. Very interesting conversation they brought up, and I hope that he keeps engaging with us in the future. And also, I see that Leichnar did drop us a sub, so thanks there, Leichnar. And that'll just about wrap it up for me.
All right, thank you. Yes, thank you, Crafty, for the follow. Definitely thank you, Leichnar, for the sub of the channel. And I like the unstructuredness of Low Key Wall. It's just a little bit more freeform, a little bit more fun, a little more hanging out. I do enjoy it. I'm hoping to have more time to be able to do these type of events. That's why I made the hiring choices I did at work, to make sure I can get some free time to be able to do this show. The other thing what I wanted to talk more about is what Reinhold said, is giving people the ability to come back after doing something that's wrong. That's why a lot of people give Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live crap for continuing to talking to Christopher Cantwell. But I see it as it's basically his only life preserver that is left. He knows the, you know, he knows liberty left and right. He has to get through whatever he's going through. And the best way for him to do is to be able to talk that out, to talk with someone and have someone else. It's to shun him, it's just going to push him further down that hole. So I enjoy that Ian's strong enough to talk to him. I can understand people's frustrations with him. I would be frustrated with Cantwell if I had to experience him on a daily basis. That's why I was kind of not that sad that Ian brought my name up to Cantwell when he was talking to him about different black people who are in the liberty movement, other than just one or a couple people. There's actually a bunch of us. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. It's just like allowing people to come back. Once they apologize and really said that they do, you know, it's okay. Let them come back. You know, as long as they are truthfully sorry and want to make a path and make for better. So that's my final thought on that. Thanks for coming to Low Key Wall. Thanks for everyone who stayed and watched. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you weren't. You were here on Twitch watching Live stream of Low Key Wall. Thanks, Walnuts. I know I didn't post this on the FaceTubes, the Twitters, on the Instagrams, but you guys found us anyways, and that makes you awesome.